Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, it's time for coffee. I'm so glad that you're here. Today we are sitting down with a good internet friend of mine, Jessica Hoddle, and we are talking about her new book, Face Off With Your Feelings. I hope that you're going to enjoy listening in as Jessica and I talk through our identity in the Lord and what role our feelings have to play in our faith and how we can reconcile big feelings with what the Bible says. I love talking about feelings because I am a person with big feelings. The sign above my desk says I'm pretty cool, but I cry a lot. So that is just the extent of my feelings. I've said if I'm not, or it's a Kristen Bell quote, but it's like if I'm above a 7 on like the feeling scale, if I'm above a 7, I'm crying. If I'm below a 7, I'm crying. Something like that. I don't know. I just butchered that quote. But I love talking about feelings and the biblical perspective of them. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I'm sitting down with one of my friends. I know this is the first time we're like officially talking, Jessica, but like, yeah. I feel like we're friends.
I know, me too. We've been following each other for a long time Instagram and chit-chatting back and forth, so.
We're totally friends. So I am just excited to be sitting down having coffee with a friend. Jessica Hoddle is here, and we are talking about worth and feelings and friendship in that, like all of it, all kind of like mashed together, which I'm really excited about. So. Jessica, hey.
I am so glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So fun. I just love that we get to sit down and hang out. That's really like, we're just like recording a hangout.
I know, we are. We're trying to catch up. We're going to let you guys know what we were talking about.
That's right. Okay, Jessica, are you drinking anything? What's in your cup?
What's in my cup? I got water. That's what I got. I mean, I know. I'm boring, kind of. But I'll have some kombucha later and a little bit of Fit Aid. So I don't drink much, like, I don't drink pop. I don't drink any of the juices. And that's just by choice. I've done that for years. But, I mean, a little flavor every once in a while. Give me some kombucha or something.
What's your favorite, like, taste or flavor of kombucha?
Trilogy.
Okay. Is that, like, a brand?
Like, is it's that a like flavor. A... Yeah, like, it's the name okay. of the flavor. It's called Trilogy. Yeah, it's... I don't even know how to describe it. It's like I'm not even going to try. But it is my favorite flavor.
We have like an Austin brand called Buddha's Blend, Buddha's Brew. And they have a berry mint one that is my fave.
Yeah. I wish I had more explanation for you, but it's just called Trilogy. Like that's the name of it.
That's okay. That sounds good.
It's okay.
I mean, kombucha's good. That sounds good. I always say I need some booch. I need the booch.
So I had to, my like, one friend my one friend absolutely hates it because she literally thinks she's drinking like mold. Like she just can't. She can't stomach it.
If you
it.
Think
she's
too like, much about it, yeah.
Like she's like, you're disgusting. Get that away from me. I'm like, you know what I mean? He's like, no, you're drinking mold.
So. I do not like to see like the SCOBY or set. Like I avoid.
Or when it gets like
of
stuck off like your tongue or your lip when you're drinking it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's gross.
I don't like that part. Okay, you are a huge advocate for women and our friends and us knowing our worth. And I would love to hear just like, where are we missing the mark on knowing and believing our worth as women?
Yeah. Well, I think one, we just are very distracted nowadays, right? I mean, there's so many things vying for our attention and there's so many things that people are telling us that we need to do, that we need to become so that we can achieve a certain status. I mean, we were just talking about before about publishing and writing and what we think we have to become in order to get the desires of our hearts, right?
Yeah.
But when I write about in the book about identity, I really go back to this idea that three things that I had to figure out is what was I giving my identity to? Meaning what were the things I was trying to fill, right? Was it, I mean, of course, for me, it was my body, it was men, and it was my business. And the second thing is we have to figure out who is God to us, just us, like personally, not based on anybody else's opinion, not based on what somebody else's belief or book or, you know, commentary is. Do I believe God is good? Do I believe that he's angry? Do I believe that he's a punisher? Do I believe that he cares? Can I trust him? Like, what character and naturistics do you believe about God? Because you have to figure that out. Because if not, we are made in his image and likeness. Therefore, if we neglect to view God through his true character and nature, then it affects how we see ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So the third thing is then we have to know the nature and character of God apart from what we feel or what we believe. And so how I view God impacts how I view myself. So if I view God as this angry God, I'm not going to go to him for safety. I'm not going to go to him for trust because I view him as this God that's going to punish me for my sins or my mistakes, or he's putting me in the corner. And so it's very important when we're thinking about identity that we know who God is, but we know the truth about his character and nature as well.
That's so good. So now I want to ask, who do you view God as? Like, what is your like characteristic of God that you hold on to that brings you the most like closeness to him?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, let me go back so that maybe I can make it a little bit more, because I didn't grow up in church.
Yeah.
So for me, I didn't find the Lord until I was 22. And growing up in a childhood and then being around very specific people and drug addicts and alcoholics and all that stuff, I had this perspective of God that everything I happened in my life was to teach me a lesson. And so I had this kind of view where I was looking for the lesson. And I really wasn't looking for God. So I was like, okay, I would kind of cherry pick scripture. I was a very slow reader of learning to read scripture. I mean, I started out as a cherry picker and then I'd be like, well, maybe I should just read like a chapter somewhere, you know. I never touched the Old Testament. Like, don't even give it to me. Like, yeah. I didn't even open it. And then I started slowly beginning that step. But for me, I had a transition from he's somebody that's kind of sitting on a throne. We're separated. I know I'm supposed to worship him, but, you know, this is kind of the Christian thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And it's been a slow transition for me now to look at him as a father and me as a child. Like, that is where I sit with the Father, so that I know that he's safe, that I can trust him, that he does take care of me. Because I always had the mentality that if nobody takes care of me, or I have to take care of myself because nobody takes care of me. And so coming from that mentality to be able to say, no, God, I trust you no matter what, it was a very slow and healing process for me.
Yeah, for sure. I have always seen and like I have a great father. Like, my dad is awesome. He's good. So I have never needed or like desired that like father figure from the Lord, because my dad's been a great dad and he's, you know, guided me to the Father, which is really great. God has always been like a refuge and a friend for me. And I know with what I do and how I talk about friendship, it makes a little bit more sense, where I'm like, hey guys, like, God is like God, but he also like cares so deeply for you as like a friend. And so when you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder, because God has different relationships with us.
Yeah.
And it's so sweet that he cares so deeply for each and every one of his children. And he shows up in our lives a little bit differently. And so where you need someone to care for you and take care of you. I have always seen God as like, you are like my strong tower, my refuge when I'm weak. And when I need a friend, you're there. And I just thought that was a fun thing to ask you. So thank you for
That was good. And I think it's great that we both have different ones, because I think each person can find themselves, do you know what I mean, in their own. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think God always shows us the place where sometimes not lack, but wrestle, or that you feel like has gotten stolen from you. You know, that's kind of what I look like sometimes, you know. I mean, I've struggled with friendships for sure. And I'm not saying that you struggle with friendships. I'm just saying that sometimes the Lord is so kind to give us those pictures and those visions of the places where that the enemy tried to steal from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think honestly, like, I have great siblings, all of this, but I think there was a lonely season in my life where God became my friend. And he just has like met me along that all the way, whether it's been in high moments of friendship and low moments of friendship, like, he's just always been like that safe friend, which is so great. And so we talk a little bit about just, where we need God. And sometimes those moments are when we're at our lowest or at our most wounded. And I know your next book is kind of about teaching us that we can heal and how to heal. And that our feelings are safe with God. I think that's something that both of us, as we view God, we've seen him as a safe place. And so we can and should be bringing our feelings to God. So I would love to just like let's talk about healing and feelings and God. Like, let's dive
let's
in.
Let's talk about all of it. You know, for me, it was, I've been seeing, I witness and I talk to a lot of women that our view of God dictates our relationship with God. So I have seen women struggling with eating disorders, but they love God, but they believe God's keeping them in the corner. So they have a hard time going through their eating disorder or dysmorphia because they believe that they have to get rid of their addiction so that then God will take care of them. Mm. Right. And what happens, though, is that they get comments from, you know, the church that says, well, once you take care of this, then we can have you in our church, basically, like once you get rid of your sin. And what I've seen is these two sides where it's you can't have feelings. Feelings are bad. And the other side says, just feel all the feelings. This is great, whatever. And I'm kind of like, we need to meet in the middle. So my goal is to be able to bridge the gap and have conversations with people that say, you can't keep telling people that their feelings are bad because we have feelings. Even if they are led by the flesh, you know, scripture is clear about what to think on our feelings. Be angry, but do not sin. Like, anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Like, we know those scriptures, but teaching people that what they're experiencing is bad and shameful and sinful doesn't actually help them process through what they're experiencing. It doesn't really lead them to truth. Now they're at war within themselves of, oh, I should be performance versus who I can be with just the love of the Father, of actually just being able to work through, not work around. And then the other side, I feel like, is kind of, you know, where it's, let's feel, okay, that's great. You feel sad, you feel these things, but that's not your identity. And that's not a place of habitation. I like to say that suffering or healing or feelings is not a place of like just habitation. It's a visitation. Mm-hmm. We should be moving through these situations in our life. And trust me, I know it's bumpy, but it's this pursuit of healing. And that's why I want to come in with the feelings. And, you know, the title of the book is called Face Off with Your Feelings and then Break Up with the Lies of Your Past to Embrace the Truth for Your Future. But it's this idea, like, let's face off with what we feel so that we can break up with them as well. And so let's not say that our feelings are bad, because feelings are not a sin. Feelings lead us to sin.
Right.
That's what's important. And being able to go, okay, something's not right, and then going to God about it.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And I told you before, like, I'm a feelings-led person. And sometimes that equates in a lot of, like, I shouldn't have said that, or I let my anger get the best of me, or or even to the other extreme of like, I'm so sad I can barely do anything. Like, I've let my feelings, like, I've claimed residency in this feeling, and I now have to figure out how to either move out or stay here forever, and it's not comfortable. And so I love talking about feelings because God gave us feelings.
Yeah.
Like, they're part of who he made us to be. And I love seeing, like, Bible characters who had to face their feelings. David's one of my favorites because he was so full of feelings. And he, like, let them out. But I think that there's an example in that as well, right? Like he poured it out to the Lord. Like, I'm devastated. I'm at my lowest. What am I going to do? I know that you're still God. I know that you are here. So he, like, really faced his feelings in a really unique way.
Yeah. He even talks about how his sin is destroying his flesh. You know, like, he talks about – and I think that's a perfect visual of us, of how our sin, you know, the things that we do separates us from situations, people, you know, relationship with God, all the things. Sorry, not to interrupt you.
No, you're good. No, this is your podcast. We're good. you are the one talking more. I'm trying to think of how can we face our feelings? Like, what's our first step in facing our feelings?
Yeah. I always say, the thing that comes to my mind is awareness. And challenging. Something I say on my podcast all the time, and I say in the book, it's pretty much the core theme of the book, is challenge the way you think to change the way you live. And most of us normalize every thought that comes our way. We do take it. We take it and we run with it as if it's our own without mm-hmm. questioning. Why is this making me upset? Why am I sad? Why is this bringing me down? What is the belief that I carry about this? And to me, that's important. If we could even get to the awareness step of creating the space between you and the reaction, which is what I try to work on so much of, you know, my body, because your body will start to feel it, right? Your heart starts to race. Your words want to go. And we have to recognize that our bodies are going to start responding, and then our words or whatever, our action will start following suit. And if we could just even just create a little bit of space, even a few seconds before we respond and react, but it's that awareness. If we're not aware and we're just going with the flow every single time, we never really challenge the way that we think. We never really think about, well, why am I thinking this? Why am I upset? Mm-hmm. Does something need to be healed? Do I need to process healing in this area? And then we get stuck in kind of an emotional loop where, you know, it's somebody says something to you, and then you start to look for things to affirm or confirm what it is that you're feeling. And then you start to feel rage. And then you continue that, you know, that confirmation and looking for it, and it just keeps going. And so that's the lens that we begin to view it from. So if we're sad or if we're worried, your worry can turn into anxiety because, again, it's what's confirming the belief that you are carrying. What thought is it that you're carrying that is now being confirmed by what you see, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we can easily go, we didn't get a text message, so they must not like me. See, like it's. Then we go and then we start looking, this person really doesn't like me. And then you start to hang out with them and they didn't say what you thought they were going to say. And then you're like, see, they don't like me. You start looking for this confirmation. We get stuck in this emotional loop, right? But anyways, that's kind of like a side topic, but it really is awareness.
Yeah, I love that. And I think as soon as we become aware, that is taking that thought captive, right? The Bible says like take every thought captive. I heard a pastor speak on this once and he said like, it's not like, oh, I just need to think about why I'm thinking this thought. He said, no, it's captive. Yeah. That means like we are taking it as a prisoner of war and we are getting to the root of why it is here and figuring out why and how and what and all of this. And so anytime I think about that verse now, I think about that. Like, no, this isn't just like, oh, but this is a war for our mind. This is a war for our feelings. And I just love that, that you're hitting this with us because we have to be aware of what's coming in, what's causing these feelings. I can tell you about Friday at noon, I start feeling like super anxious. I'm like scrolling on Instagram and I'm like uncomfortable. And that's my reminder of, oh, it's time to take the weekend off. Like, it's time to pull back on Instagram because I am feeling weird. I'm feeling like it's too much. It's been too much all week, so I have to put it away. But that's an immediate thing that, like, it was one Friday where I was like, why am I feeling weird on Instagram right now? I was like, oh, because I need to rest. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and you're feeling heavy because you're seeing everything that's happening and you're starting to feel heavy within yourself because you start carrying other people's emotions and their thoughts and what they're experiencing. And that's what we're not even recognizing that's happening, is that we are actually starting to carry more than we are even meant to carry in our lives.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, are you a part of our email community? It is a group where I get to send emails straight to your inbox once, maybe twice a month. I don't spam you by all means, but it's just a time where I get to send emails and news, and it's a really fun way for us to connect outside of Instagram or even here on the podcast. I hope that you'll join us. You can join by just heading to the link in the description below, or you can go to the show notes at itstimeforcoffeepod.com and click the link there. Again, the email community is a really fun place for us to hang out and connect on a deeper level. I hope that you'll join us there. Now back to today's episode. So how do we set up boundaries with what we can carry within our own hearts and what we're intaking? Like, where is a boundary for us with our feeling?
For me, when I think about boundaries, it's so individual because, you know, for me, I had to take a lot of time off of social media in July of this year. And the more space I took, the more I realized I needed the space, meaning I was able to think clear. I had a lot more ideas. I didn't feel as bogged down. Like, I just didn't feel heavy. And then when it came back to coming back, I was like, okay, how can I still have a lot of boundaries here? You know, because I didn't want to come back fully, in a sense, because it takes time to create reels and stories and to show up and to promote your book and to talk about things. And, you know, for us to create boundaries, it can just even be saying no a lot to – you don't have to be on every board member meeting or every volunteer or, you know, whatever it is that the things that you often say yes to. And that – I actually talk about this in the book too, of when it comes to identity, but it's really these people-pleasing, you know, guilt – condemnation, things that actually cause us to do and respond. And so for us, we have to really get kind of to the root to create space to figure out what boundaries we actually need to put in place. Individually, because everybody has different areas right now. So for you, it might be your children or your husband, not that you have to create boundaries with your husband, but how to communicate more effectively. Do you know what I mean? Like, in certain things. So
yeah, you're 100% right. I was just talking to a friend about this because the school year is just starting up here while we're recording. And, you know, small groups are starting at church and all of this stuff. And so we were just talking about what do we need to be doing or what can we be doing? And I kind of chuckled and I said, I can't say yes to anything else right now because another yes outside of my house is a no to my family. And I'm just not willing to say no to my family right now. I just can't say no to my family. Because I'm already doing enough yeses. I just can't. Like, I can't sacrifice anymore. And that's just a hard thing. Because I am, like, I want to say I'm a recovering people pleaser. But I'm probably not that far into recovery. I like making people happy. And I want to serve and do. But not at the cost of, like, my sanity. And not at the cost of, like, my emotional wellness or time with my family. So I think that people pleasing probably has a big part to do in like overextending our feelings in a sense.
And I think even with boundaries, think of it this way, we need more space just mentally in general. Like, you know, my friend Elisa Keene, she always talks about get bored again. Like your brain needs a space. So a boundary can be like stop picking up your phone at a red light. Stop picking up your phone in the grocery store. Like, it's okay. You don't have to check your email or you don't have to check Instagram or whatever. And I'm guilty of it too. That's why I'm preaching it. Like, that's what I had to actually work through. I'm like, why am I picking up my phone right now? Don't need to look at it. But we don't know what to do with our white space anymore. We don't. Right. We just want to fill it. We want every moment to be focused on something. When we're sitting at a doctor's appointment in the, you know, inside, what do? The whole time we're looking down.
Yeah.
And this is opportunities where we can do other things. We can read. We can just sit there. We can journal. Yeah. Like just letting your mind kind of go. But what I know, what happens with people is when they actually are quiet is when they actually have to confront what they're experiencing, what they're feeling, what's going on in their life. And that's hard for a lot of people. And I think that's why we don't want space. We don't want time in this for us to be able to think because – then so many things come. And that's where we just have to learn to manage our mind. You know, I talk about renewing your mind and the different ways we change our brain in the book. And so I'm not just here to be like, take your thoughts captive. And then a lot of people on their side are going, but how do I do that?
Yeah. You know, but then so what? Yeah.
I do talk a lot about that, of just different ways we can learn scripture and how our brains change and hardwiring and recircuiting our brains and just all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that. While we're talking about feelings and kind of the heaviness of those feelings, how can we take our feelings to God, knowing our feelings are safe with Him? Like, there's emotional safety, but how do we create that space with Him?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just, again, looking at your schedule. If we're talking about physical space, in even a mental, emotional state, it's, again, going back to that phone. Like, you can talk to God anywhere. I mean, right. You don't have to take your phone in the bathroom. You know, women, you know, men, like, we don't have to take our phone everywhere. So look at the places that you're filling space, yeah. that you're just like, oh, I'll just do one more thing. And then have these conversations with God or sit down. But I'm just saying, conversations can happen anywhere with God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Of this, this idea that it has to be perfect or it has to be long or mm-hmm. drawn out or anything like that. We just have to get real and honest with God and know His word, because the truth is we have so many people searching for identity, but they're not opening their Bibles for their identity. And that is where, you know, when I work with my clients and I ask my clients, do you read your Bible? Oftentimes the answer is no. Yeah. And that is the only place that you will find your true identity is in the Bible.
Yeah. And what we do online is so fun and so great, where we share scriptures and we encourage people online with kind of what the Lord's teaching us. But that's not to say that's your Bible reading for the day. Like, man, we have lost something where, and I know I'm guilty of it sometimes too, where it's like, oh, that was a really great thought from Jessica. Like, I really loved that little devotional she put out on Instagram today. The end of my time with the Lord. And it's like, man, like, we've got to be pouring ourselves into the Bible ourselves, because even pastors are flawed. Like, right? Like, we have to be learning and gleaning from Him alone so that we can kind of like sort what else is true and false.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing for me was not taking my feelings to the Bible, because like, their scripture should hurt your heart a little bit. It should sting against your flesh. You know, when we talk about forgiveness and not repaying your enemy with evil and kindness and goodness and self-control and having a sound mind, because we live by what we see. We live carnally by our five senses, and we go, okay, but I don't feel like I have a sound mind. So that is like, I don't even want to deal with that, because I'm anxious right now. So my mind's racing. You're telling me I have a sound mind. And we start to take our feelings to that. And then what happens though is we start to question, is this true? Is this right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we start taking what we're feeling versus taking the scripture and going, no, I have a sound mind. This is what scripture says, and begin to work through, you know, the anxiousness or whatever it is that we're feeling.
Yeah. Last year I read through Proverbs a few times, and one time I read through it and I was like, okay, God, I'm not the wise man. Like, remind me every day that I'm the fool. Like, speak to me as though I am the fool, because I can read through the Proverbs and be like, the wise man does this. You're right. I sure do. And I was like, okay, God, remind me that I'm the fool. Teach me, because this is your word here to sharpen me. And if I'm just like, check mark, I'm the wise guy, then I am just like a wise guy. Like, I'm not learning anything. So I really wanted to read it as though it was like, you are the fool and let's learn here.
Yeah. Like, how is this impacting me? How is this changing me? Like, the scripture should challenge us, because we are made in the image, right? And we want godliness, and godliness is looking like God. It's that Christ-like in us. Yeah. Yeah. So how are we becoming that from our identity and not working toward it, which is what we try to do a lot.
I love that. As you wrote this book, what is something, I call it keyboard counseling. So like, we like live our books and then we write our books. And then as we write them, God like really counsels us. And I know you had to write this book a lot. So what is a moment that God really counseled you over the keyboard with?
I would say the overall theme of the book is that God wants you well. Mm. That is, if I can just get women to believe that they are a well woman fighting sickness, not a sick woman fighting to get well from identity, not to identity, then I think our world will really change in just any kind of sense of this idea that God's not a punisher. He's not giving you, you know, sickness to teach you a lesson. Like all of these things that we hear that keep us in that state, you know? And so for me, it was like, God is the healer. I should be constantly challenging my thoughts and moving in that direction of change. Like, how are my prayers matching my actions? You know, if I'm praying to be well, if I'm praying that I want this ache to go away, if I'm praying that I want this friendship to be well or whatever, do I speak death over that friendship after I'm praying? Do I talk about how sick I am if I'm praying for healing?
Yeah.
And so for me, it was this, do my words match my prayers? And do how do I believe God is towards me? And do I believe he wants me well? And that was the question in the theme is when our soul is well, we can be well.
Man, and how often are we praying without believing and without that follow through? Like another one of my favorite verses is just like, forgive my unbelief. Like I believe, forgive my unbelief, because that's exactly what we're doing when we're saying like, Lord, heal me or do this, or like we're crying out for his goodness. And then we're like, but we'll see what he really does. And it's like, well, that's immediate unbelief.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, we'll see what he does. But he's like, well, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
And that's the thing that's hard is we're like, we're kind of putting it off on God. Like, okay, here, you take everything, which is great. And that's what we can do. But then he says, okay, are you going to move your feet? And oftentimes we see in scripture where it says your obedience is on the other side. Like the fruit that you want to see is on the other side of your obedience. You know, with Moses, and we see it even with Paul when he says, arise, go, and there I will tell you what to do. That is many times throughout the scripture where he tells people to arise, go, and I will tell you when you get there.
Yep.
But it's whose responsibility to go?
Yeah.
He doesn't tell them all the steps. He doesn't tell them what he wants them to do before they get there. He's saying, will you be obedient to go? Then I'll tell you when you get there.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. So true. Because there's, I mean, like with faith without works is dead. Like that is like, that's, we have to move and go and do so that we can continue to see his goodness. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And that's been my biggest challenge, I think, is not living by what I see.
Because the natural world. That'd be awful here.
The natural world influences our spiritual world so much. But if we can actually see through the spiritual lens of what is happening, I mean, I'm reading in Ezekiel right now, and God literally takes Ezekiel through the spirit and shows him the evil that is happening in the temple and in the city of Jerusalem and Judah. And he's showing him through his perspective. And so Ezekiel's seeing these visions and what's happening in the cloud and the fire. And I just think, like, I want to see God's perspective. Like, I want to see what's happening. What's the aerial view? I mean, it's just like Caleb and Joshua. They didn't see grasshoppers. When they were the spies, everybody else saw themselves as little and small. And so scripture teaches us, like, how we view our situation and circumstance will impact how we show up in that circumstance and situation.
Yeah. I think that just even goes to our feelings. If we view our feelings as too big and overwhelming, then we will live as though they are too big and overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it just, I know I keep saying this, but it takes faith, time, and patience. Our pastor always say it's time, like time is the big one, right? It's like, I'm going to screw this up, but it's like between your prayer and your amen is like time or whatever, but it's the time that wrecks us because we think time is against us. Time is our enemy. But when something doesn't happen in a month or a year, we give up our prayers. We stop moving in that direction and we just think it doesn't matter. And so how do we have that steadfast? How do we keep that steadfastness in us? How do we stay consistent with the Lord? How do we stay in content with the Lord like he tells us as we continue to move forward in the things that we're called to do?
Yeah. I think that's so good and that's so wise. And I think the answer to that is just to remain in community with him, to remain in him. Okay, Jessica, what is it time for in your own life right now? We believe there's a season for everything under the sun. Right now, it's time for friendship and coffee. What was it time for in your own life?
I think it's time for growth. It's been a slow and steady pace for me for the last couple of years. The Lord keeps saying slow and steady, and my flesh hates it. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Really does. And, you know, the last two years of writing this book and getting it edited and pitching to agents and the things, I didn't get the answer, you know, to my prayer in that time. And it was a lot of work and it was very disheartening because I see so many amazing friends of mine getting those things. And I'm in a season now where I was like thanking the Lord, like, thank you so much for not giving me what my heart desired because my character wasn't ready for it. And it wasn't the book that it is today. So for me, it's just growth and it's slow and steady. That's the time that I'm in right now.
I love and hate that for you because I totally get it.
It's hard.
Because we especially like celebrate our friends who are getting really great things and then at the same time have to take some disappointed feelings to the Lord and say like, okay, I know you've called me to this, so I'm going to press on. But like, what does this look like? And he's just like, hang out with me. We got this.
Yeah. I'm like, keep going and I will show you what to say when you get there.
That's right. Oh, that's so right. That's so good. Okay, Jessica, your new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, Break Up With the Lies From Your Past and Embrace the Truth For the Future, is out this fall. And you have a couple other books all about knowing our worth. Is that right?
Yep, it is. And I'm really excited about this fourth book, though, of just I mean, we talk about identity in a completely different way than I have in the other books, but and you don't have to read like the other books. There's no like sequence of anything, but really, you know, you can pick up Face Off With Your Feelings right on my website, jessicahuddle.com.
Yes. And be sure to follow Jessica on Instagram because you like I told you before we started recording, like I enjoy your content. I think you're talking a lot to me because you're talking about my feelings. Like calm down, Jeanette. I'm like, but
I'm not liking your
like it and then run away because I want to support you. but I think that you're doing a great job and you're a trusted friend that I like to point people to because you're trusted and you're speaking wisdom.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Okay, did you love meeting Jessica? Man, I really appreciate her take on feelings, and I love that she comes at it from a biblical aspect. I know that I am a person where my feelings have gotten me in trouble, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want my feelings to rule my life. I want the Lord to rule my life. So I pray that you enjoyed today's episode. Go follow Jessica on Instagram. Thank her for having coffee with us today, and be sure to go out and grab her new book, Face Off With Your Feelings. It's available on Amazon, and you can hit the link in the description of the podcast below. And if you need any more information, you can head to itstimeforcoffeepod.com, where there will be links and everything you need to know about today's episode. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.